It's an uneasy time. With the Omicron variant spreading fast coast to coast, President Biden is warning of a winter of severe illness and death for the unvaccinated.
And an expanded child tax credit that has helped millions of families during this pandemic expires this month. And whether it continues is caught up in talks over the president's nearly $2 trillion social spending plan, which hit a roadblock this week. Our Friday Politics Roundtable is here to talk about all this. Scott Wong is a senior staff writer at The Hill. Scott, hello.
Good to be with you.
And Kimberly Atkins-Store is Boston Globe senior opinion writer and columnist. Kimberly, thank you for joining us.
Hi there. Thanks for having me.
And Scott, let me start with this Biden economic bill. From the perspective of American families, budgets may be tight, prices are going up everywhere, and yet different kinds of pandemic help from the government are ending. So they may be asking, is this a social contract moment for policymakers to step in and help? And yet this White House spending bill will take weeks to negotiate to move anywhere, according to the president. So Scott, from the Democrats' perspective, what is the holdup?
Well, the holdup is the holdup that has existed for a matter of months, and that holdup are the moderate Senate Democrats, including, most specifically, Joe Manchin of West Virginia. Manchin has been trying desperately to pump the brakes on this Build Back Better package, and he has largely been successful, especially in this past week. President Biden conceded just yesterday that he will not achieve his goal of passing Build Back Better and getting it signed into law by Christmas. They are deciding to punt this into the new year because of a number of objections and concerns that Joe Manchin has raised. Number one, about the federal debt. He also has concerns about inflation. And so he wants to slow down this process, much to the consternation of his fellow Democratic colleagues mm-hmm. in both the Senate and the House. Mm-hmm. And right now, things are really up in the air.
Now, for Joe Manchin, the child tax credit and how expensive that is appears to be an issue, too. Here is sound of Manchin being chased in his car by CNN reporter Manu Raju last night.
They're pressuring you to change your position on the
child
tax credit.
No one pressures me.
I'm from West Virginia.
Are you going to change your position on that?
I've always been for child tax credit. Always will be.
So, Kim, does this seem to be a Manchin negotiating ploy, or do you think this whole bill is in jeopardy here?
I think it's possible that it's both. Look, Joe Manchin from the beginning has never been shy about voicing his opposition to elements of this bill as well as other bills. In this case, I think it's a very Manchinist way to say, I want the child tax credit.
Yeah.
This is a great thing. And then turn around and say, but it's too big and it costs too much. So figure out a way to do it and make it cost less, and which is the dilemma that the Democrats are in here. So I think that digging in, the fact that this bill has been pushed off now only serves to underscore just how powerful he could be when trying to sort of hammer down all of these bills that he has voiced opposition to. That's why the climate provision is smaller. That's why there are a number of other provisions that Democrats really wanted that have either been slimmed down or eliminated from this bill. He sees this as working. And so I don't see him letting up anytime soon.
And Scott, isn't this exactly what Democrats were worried about? Remember, they were torn just a few months ago over the idea of splitting these bills up, the infrastructure bill and the larger social safety net bill. They wanted to pass them together, and they were afraid that if they weren't paired, that this exact thing would happen. Do you think pushing this past Christmas now divides Democrats even further?
Well, it certainly creates more headaches for Democrats. The longer that this issue goes unresolved, the longer that Build Back Better is not sent to the president's desk, the chances of it becoming law diminish, especially since we're heading into a very important, critical midterm election year. Things are extremely tough to pass, especially big things like Build Back Better are extremely tough to pass in midterm election years where everyone is focused on their own reelection and whether a package like this could harm or help their elections. And so progressives were, it appears, right to distrust Joe Manchin in trying to keep those two packages deeply intertwined, that infrastructure package and the Build Back Better. They went ahead and relented and allowed the infrastructure bill to get passed and signed into law. I suspect that many of those progressives are now regretting that.
Mm. Republicans don't seem to mind. Here's Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell.
The best Christmas present the American people could hear was that this bill was going nowhere.
Republicans like McConnell are arguing that the bill stokes inflation and they want to take credit for some of the other big spending during the pandemic that's flowing into their states. But in some ways, is that fair?
Yeah, no, it isn't. They're absolutely going to do victory laps about elements of the infrastructure bill. And certainly if Build Back Better passes, they will take credit, particularly for local investments that causes. But at the same time, they have been unified in their message that Joe Biden's policies are bad for America. Everything that is going bad is his fault. And they are sort of absolve themselves of any message about what they are actually doing or pushing or supporting. So this delay does really harm them. And at the same time, the impasse on things like voting rights is harming Democrats with their own base. So it's a very tough and tricky place that the Democrats and the president find themselves in.
And Kim, let me ask you a little bit more about specifically this child tax credit that is in the middle of these negotiations. For many families, it has helped. Since July, the IRS has sent out more than 200 million direct child tax credit checks to families. That's up to $300 for each child. Supporters say this is a huge boost to end child poverty. And yet, in our NPR poll, 2/3 said this only helped them a little bit. So could this be part of the problem here for proponents of this economic package, that support from constituents, might be lukewarm?
Yeah, I think we are seeing how polarized the messaging, the effectiveness of the polarized messaging on this has become. I mean, it's a fact that it lifted and kept children out of poverty by a factor of 40%, according to a Columbia University poll. This child tax credit had an absolute positive impact on this economy and letting that. And by the way, it would be included in this Build Back Better bill if they can get it passed. But in the meantime, it could lapse. So, yes, it is popular. It sort of like reminds me of Obamacare, how people didn't like Obamacare. Mm-hmm. But when you asked about individual elements, they were very popular. It seems like that's exactly what's happening again with the child tax credit.
Scott, are you surprised to hear that? Or do you think Democrats are surprised rather that this big piece of legislation is not necessarily warming the hearts of as many Americans as they planned on?
Well, I can tell you from my own personal experience as a father of three, I notice when there are hundreds of extra dollars in my checking account. The IRS just this week sent that last payment into American families' bank accounts, and now it is expiring without any movement on this Build Back Better package. The Build Back Better package would have allowed this to continue for another year. Now these child tax credits are expiring, and I think people will notice when there are not hundreds of dollars or even more showing up in their bank accounts, come January. And so it remains to be seen, I think, what that reaction will be from the American public. But I think people are going to wake up very quickly.
Kimberly, let's take a moment to talk about the politics of Omicron. This morning, White House coronavirus coordinator Jeff Zients addressed concerns about the fast-spreading variant.
This is not a moment to panic because we know how to protect people and we have the tools to do it.
So not a moment to panic, maybe, but boy, this sure isn't the place that the Biden administration wanted to be going into this winter, is it?
It is not. And again, it's showing the long-term effect of what we've seen since the beginning of the response to this pandemic, which is, again, just the polarization in how we deal with it. The reason there are so many unvaccinated people, and according to the CDC, that is still one of the biggest threats and one of the reasons why Omicron can spread so quickly, is that we should be at higher levels. We've seen the effectiveness of that and other measures such as masking. But here we are again. Schools again are closing. We see Broadway and other things that are shutting down, and it is adding to this wariness that yes, it's a problem for Joe Biden in that he's the president, but the cause of it is certainly the politicization that Republicans have used in really pushing against these COVID measures.
And finally, to you, Scott, you know, economists tell us that the leading economic indicator is the virus. I mean, to what extent do you think Joe Biden's fortunes will rise or fall depending on how COVID goes next year?
Yeah, I mean, it's a real challenge for the president, for this administration. You know, what this is showing is governing is extremely hard, as we've seen from their efforts to pass legislation. And it's even more difficult to govern in the face of the coronavirus.
Scott Wong of The Hill and Kimberly Atkins-Store of the Boston Globe. Thanks to you both.